Big guest on the show today, another in our line of summer guests. It's Pat Anger. He played for the Hawkeyes, he played in the NFL, and now he's going to be bringing you games on Saturday over the radio waves with Gary Dolphin in the booth. We talk about that, fatherhood, identity after your playing days are over, and a whole lot more. As always, you guys are going to love Pat, not only on this podcast, but bringing you Iowa football this fall. Let's have a day. Let's go. All right, we are recording now. And I'll say it again. Drake hates everyone. So that's why he's
but
not.
That's
here.
Also that's what we love about Drake.
Welcome into the podcast. Pat Anger joins the show. New voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. I mean, I guess Dolph still has that.
I'm not the voice. Don't lead with that.
We used to do a Dolph impression. You know Brady Ross, right?
Oh, great dude.
Yeah, he does a great. We should have had him on with you because then we could have gotten a little action between the two of you.
Yeah.
The voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
273 days.
That hype video is so amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Pat, but they did like, they had Dolph do a, you know, they have him come in and he reads for, they'll probably start having you do it, honestly.
Yeah, that's weird.
I would imagine that's part of the gig. It was like, I think it was the length of the off season, right? So like 270 some days. And it was like this hype video that started all the way back with like film from the first 8 weeks of strength conditioning and Dolph's on there. 282 days of off season.
And now
work, blood, sweat, tears. And
it's
now
funny, man.
1 minute until Iowa football.
When he texts me now, like I read it in his voice, and I've known Dolph for a long time, but now, like obviously, we're working together, so we're talking a lot more. But like his voice is so majestic that I read every text in his voice, and like that's how you know he's the man.
It's unbelievable.
Try to do his voice impression when you're in the booth side by side with him, so people
right. My nasally ass, yeah, I don't know if it'd sound very good.
His voice really is incredible, and I think. As a player or a fan, you just know him as Dolph on the radio. And I think if you haven't met the people who you listen to on the radio, you kind of just think like, I think the radio does something to people's voices. It deepens it or they're talking differently. No. First time I met Dolph, he comes to camp every year. He'll come out there and talk to the players. Obviously the specialists don't do shit. So we're out there just standing there watching practice. And he comes up and I weasel my way in, introduce myself to him. I think it's like freshman or second year there. And he starts talking and it's the exact same. It is the exact same as you hear on the radio. And it is unbelievable. And then we've had him on this podcast now twice the last couple of years to preview the season. And it just is amazing. I mean, I think we got into a conversation about it with him and he said he always just had a great voice. And then he, and then when he got into the business, he even played it up a little more. He started working on it and it's just, Podolak, tough to replace. You've got a tough job, Pat. Whoever tries to replace Dolph,
right?
They're screwed.
Tough spot right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's our intro to the podcast. We
awesome. That's a good one,
dude. You're in the booth.
Yeah, it's weird.
How did this happen?
Did they come to you, or did you approach them? What happened? Yeah, we're run us through it.
Yeah, so they reached out to some guys initially just to kind of gauge interest. And I had, you know, obviously I knew that Ed was kind of stepping away and didn't really think anything of it as far as for me. And then they reached out to me and they're like, hey, you know, we got a list of guys. We're just kind of gauging interest. And what do you think? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it sounds kind of cool, I guess. And they're like, well, just check with your wife and see what she says. So I called my wife and she's like, yeah, I can have you out of the house more this fall. Like, absolutely. So tell him. Yeah. So I called him back right away. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm interested. And then we did a Zoom interview, and very basic, simple questions, kind of getting to know your feel for the program and stuff like that. And then we did a game simulation, the Michigan State fourth quarter. And that was really the first time where I was kind of like, this is pretty fun. This is actually really cool. And for me at that time, after I got done, I felt like I looked good. Dolph's so easy to work with. Literally I could put my dog or my kids up there and he'd do just fine. But for me at that time, I was just happy just to even be considered to even get that far in the process. So for me, it was a win-win. Awesome. Hey, if they say yes, cool. If they say no, cool. And then they said yes. And then it was like, oh gosh, like, oh my goodness.
Was there a kind of like, oh
But
shit moment, like, I actually got to do this now? I wasn't expecting to
yeah.
get this far.
Well, is it, I guess kind of circling back too on the so I was at that Michigan State game and we actually left when the fourth quarter started because I hate traffic. So I'm like,
That
I don't want to get the hell out of here. I
2011.
had my No, it was last year. It was Cooper DeJean where he scored the punt at
Oh,
the end.
that
Yeah.
one. I thought you were
I
talking
mean
about. I'm dumb as shit. I thought you were talking about the fourth quarter of the Michigan State game. Seven or six, six got seven, seven got
so
six.
2009. Yeah, best Iowa
You
team
were
of all
talking,
time.
and you would have played in that team. I thought that was later. Okay, that was not in between us.
I was honestly, I was like nervous. I was like, if these guys are really funny, what they'll do is they will have a highlight tape of all my missed tackles
It would
and
have been
just to
great.
see. Oh, we would have been there all day.
Forty,
But
43 misses another
it
tackle. Clearly didn't
would
practice this week.
right.
So you did this
But
past, okay.
yeah, which was a great game. It was an amazing fourth quarter. But it's kind of funny because I listened to that fourth quarter on the radio on the way home. So it was just, it's kind of weird how it worked out. Yeah, so then they called and said you got it. And it was just like, whoa, this is pretty cool. And what's interesting too, and it was kind of a really good awakening to it. So like they had called me and told me that I got it. And then within like 20 minutes, it's like leaked all over. And so I'm getting calls and like, I'm not answering the call and not answering text messages and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, you can't tell anybody anything. I mean, not that I did, but you can't tell anybody anything because it's gonna get out. So that was a good lesson right there too, that things get out pretty quickly. But then the first when they announced it that following Monday, it was just kind of madness as far as like interviews and events and stuff like that. And going from obviously, when I was playing, you're kind of in the limelight and all that stuff, and you're used to dealing with all that. And then you're done and you're used to not. And now it's kind of getting back in there. Like, I remember when I got to college and kind of getting a little bit popular from playing football, people would be staring at me and I'd be like, do these guys want to fight or do they just like know that like I play football? So, like, but then I, tra you know, then now that I've been gone, now it's like if somebody's staring me down, like it's go time. But now people are staring at me. It's like, well, maybe they just are an Iowa fan and I
It's
don't
like
have to
that.
punch them in the face. Yeah.
They probably want a picture, huh? I
Right. You never
imagine
know, man.
trying
You
to
got
train your
mind.
I imagine a young Pat Anger thought everybody was trying to fight him.
Well, yeah, I am from Bettendorf, Iowa, which is
Rough
home of
place.
Pat Militich, home of Pat Militich, home of Jim McFedries, Robbie Lawler, Tim Sylvia trained here, Matt Hughes, Ryan McGivern, like there was a time where a lot of the UFC champs were training in Bettendorf. So like that was like growing up as just a trashy dude from Bettendorf. Like we loved a good scrap. And but yeah, I've behaved and I'm a model citizen now. I've got three kids, so
Your LinkedIn says you're a what the hell does it say?
do people use that website?
Business development officer.
Apparently you do.
What is that, dude? Business
Yes.
development. You develop businesses, dude?
It's no, I don't develop
Or
businesses. No, I
business.
develop, yes, that's why it's called, it's not called businesses. Yeah. But anyway, so here's so yeah, so I did mortgages for, I don't know, since about 2017. Really enjoyed it, had a lot of fun with it. Obviously when rates dropped, it was a really great time to be a mortgage loan officer. And but too, like there were it was really busy. And there were times where, you'd wake up at 3 a.m. and like, oh, did I send this out? Did I communicate properly on this? And then when rates went up, it was the complete opposite. And obviously you're getting paid a small little base and mainly commission, and you're not doing many mortgages. It was really hard to make any money. So then I reached out and to people at IH, Mississippi Valley Credit Union, where I work, and just saying, is there anything else I could do? And they kind of created this not necessarily created this position, but we had some people that were in this position before that were retiring, and they set me up with it. And it's been so awesome, man. It's been phenomenal. Like I couldn't see myself doing mortgages forever, but I could see myself doing this forever. So my job is basically going out. I'm trying to bring in deposits. I'm trying to get out in the community. And part of my job too is community funding. So all the money, so we're a nonprofit. I work at IHBC, credit union. Credit unions are nonprofits. So any money that we make has to go back to our members or has to go back to our community. So my job is going out in the community and giving money to these nonprofits and helping people out, whether that is giving money to the Riverbend Food Bank or that's paying off school lunch debts for schools. And dude, like it's awesome. And when this whole thing came up, as far as being on the radio, I reached out to the higher ups at IH. And I'm like, hey, you know, I've got this opportunity. I would love to do it, but if you guys say no, obviously I'll scratch it. And they were like, dude, if it helps you, it helps us. And like, that was, you know, that was just super cool. And, you know, with the first couple of weeks kind of being crazy after they announced it with millions of interviews and stuff like that, my boss basically came to me and he said, hey, you take care of the football stuff. What you got to take care of? We got your back here. So just having the support from them and having their backing has been tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like free advertisement for them. So
I was going to say this works out well for them. Yeah.
Well, until I say something stupid, which is probably
and that was my inevitable. Next thing. It's like you took this job knowing that you're like not allowed to swear and stuff, right?
Yeah. So I met the Learfield people the Friday after they had announced it, and we're at the Learfield golf outing, and they're like, hey, there's nothing that you can say or do that Dolph or Ed didn't do, so don't worry about it. But it was, you know, and a lot of things have kind of been. So I go to this Learfield golf outing, and that's technically who I work for. I work for Learfield. So I get there like, hey, you might want to have you say a couple of things. I'm like, all right, whatever. Well, Dolph's talking, and then Fran McCaffrey talks, and then Coach Ferentz, and then Beth gets, and then Coach Ferentz, and then they're like, all right, Pat. And I'm like, what am I even doing here? Like, why, like, what – what
this
am I
is the
say?
Lineup, and I'm last.
Like, yeah, I'm batting cleanup on this. Like, what are we doing?
going after KF. Shut the party down. It's over. Like,
well, and Dolph told me, like, hey, all I need you for during the season is 10 to 15 seconds, and so that's kind of what I'm sticking to.
I might tell your wife the same thing.
Oh yeah, well, she already knows. I've been with her since I was 15, so she's been disappointed before.
Yeah. All I need is we'll make a shirt with Pat's face on it. All I need is 10 to 15 seconds. This is the first thing that, and I don't know why people ask me. I guess it's just because we had you on the show before and they know that we're buddies with you. And
well,
maybe acquaintances or at least former alums on the same team. There's one connection there.
Dallas. Thank you.
Yeah. Kevin and I did not get the call, by the way. So they clearly thought higher view than us.
Well, you guys are making millions of dollars, obviously, doing your podcast and just stealing money from the Iowa fans. So
right.
I think they probably just assumed you guys are good. I work for a nonprofit, so
right.
I obviously need the money.
No, and we are certainly funneling money out of the Iowa economy. but I think because we are on a microphone each week talking specifically about the team or bringing on people like you or your teammates, Mitch King, we had on like a month and a half ago.
Mitch is the best. He's the best.
And so, which by the way, guy has, I fell into the same trap of like, oh, long blonde hair. He's just a bro. He doesn't know anything. Dude's so smart and has his business life set up so well. I don't know how well you still stay in touch with Mitch, but
yeah, talk to Mitch probably every couple of days.
He's got his shit figured out.
Yeah, and he works his ass off too. Like he takes that same intensity into his work life and what he does with the property management stuff and the rental properties, and then you know now he's into insurance. He's my insurance agent. You know, once I found out that he was with Farm Bureau, it was like, yeah, for sure. So he's telling me how to light my house on fire and all that stuff so it doesn't get insurance fraud. So we're working on that.
That's
I
sick.
better knock on some wood. That might happen. Knock on some wood. I don't want that to
I
happen.
would it would be sad for it to happen because you're currently, for anybody that's not watching the podcast, I suggest going to the YouTube, hitting the subscribe button. You get to see cool videos like this. He's got, I mean, you got the gorilla kettlebell set out there with the squat rack. It'd be a shame for that gym to go down in fire.
Yeah, this is probably the only thing I'd save as far as my possessions. Save the dog and
Tombstone
the kids and the
poster in the
wife.
back there.
I got to see that NWL. That's signed by Ric Flair. What's up?
Wow.
Woo! I
That's
got
incredible.
the Brands Bros. Yeah, so when I'm in here just sitting on my phone, it really gets me excited to do like 10 sit-ups. I'm at a point right now I can do 16 push-ups in 10 minutes.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty
I
good.
was actually, when you popped on before we started recording, going to say that you look good. You look like maybe you've been
Thanks, man.
sticking a needle in your butt with some tea, like getting
Oh,
some
dude.
TRT
It doesn't go my
hormone.
yeah. I do, yeah. I mean it's you've gotta protect your hormones. But I just, for me, I really changed how I was training. And you guys probably know, it's when you get done, you try to train like you were training when you're playing. And you've gotta, at least for me, I
Yeah,
had to make a ton of
pretending that you're a
adjustments.
football player, yeah.
Correct. And then it was okay, now I'm going to do the bodybuilding, the chest day and then the back day, and my joints were just killing me. Like I would start feeling really good and then I'd do something and my shoulder would get jacked up or my knee would balloon up. And so for me, my workouts are very people would probably they're super easy. People make fun of me about it, but I do a full body every other day and then I bike the other days and my body feels good and I just consistency and doing it and not eating terrible. I mean, I don't eat very good. And obviously keeping the booze down. I try to not drink as much, but and mentally for me, just I gotta do something. Otherwise I go insane.
Kevin and I, well, I guess not. As far as training like a football player, Kevin and I don't really do that anymore. Kevin's like a triathlete right now.
Kevin's great.
Kevin's awesome.
Yeah,
Kev,
yeah, yeah.
go Kev.
Keep going. Keep going. Yeah.
Good for you, Kev. I mean, that's all I got on
Drake
Kev.
does jujitsu and
Yeah.
he thinks that's cool, I guess.
Whatever Drake, I support Drake 100%. Whatever he decides to do in life, he's my favorite.
I don't.
And then you got Kluver.
CrossFit,
You look
dude.
good.
Vancouver is there.
It's great. And it's like there were times when I did CrossFit and I enjoyed it and the culture was great and the people were cool, but like my knee's so jacked up and my shoulders are jacked up. It's like, all right, I can't be doing box jumps or step overs or all that crap.
I think the root of my pursuit in CrossFit, I've figured out is just, it's something that's obscure enough that I can, as I continue to get older, and our former teammates who were all way more athletic, stronger, faster than me when we played, I can continue to do that because no one wants to do it, and
Yeah.
I can tell myself that I'm better than them now,
Hey, you're only as
because
good as you are right now.
that's true. That's true. I don't know how we got off track on this, but the whole conversation started with Kevin saying, "You know, you took the job knowing you can't cuss," and I was. What I was going to say there was the
And you would
messages.
turn into a whole CrossFit comp. I mean, and that's just
I
typical
know.
CrossFit
Anything he
because you
can do to
just
circle back to CrossFit.
circle it back right to
Right.
CrossFit thrusters and swinging pull-ups. The messages I were getting were, "Hey, I'm hearing Anger's, one of the guys they're interviewing. Like, are they really going to go with Pat? Like, are they going to let Pat on the mic?" And I was like, I sure hope so. And you, like, you were. I wanted you're the front runner. I think when Jan Jensen was hired as the basketball coach, Beth Getz said something like the right choice was also the easy choice. I think that completely applies here for you as well. But I am a little shocked. Were those Learfield guys in the interview? Like, how many people were part of that interview process? And like, did they know what they were getting into? Because, and I understand. What? How old are you, Pat?
37.
Okay, you're still young. You, I think Kev, were you a honorary captain during our time?
Was it in 2014? I was, I
Okay.
think. And that
I
was
thought.
the, I think that was the last time we lost to Nebraska at home. You guys did, is that you guys that lost to Nebraska?
Yeah.
Jesus, what in the hell? What are you guys doing?
Well,
I played zero plays that play, so it makes
I see, I like, I use that. I use that a lot.
I played some of the very crucial plays actually in that game. Mainly the punts that they took back on us. Yeah, so if that was you, it was either that or you talked to us some other time. And 2014, Pat, 20, middle 20 teens, Pat, still using a fair amount of F-bombs when you talk to the team. And you could tell that that was just you. Like, you're just authentic guy. You like to cuss. How do we get around that?
Well, you got to know your audience too. You know, you've got
I
to know
know.
your
It,
audience.
is it,
And it's,
yeah.
and I've done, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I, you know, all through high school, college, NFL, done a million interviews, never said anything too crazy.
So you can turn it off.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I can't wait
We'll
until you
see.
slip.
But we'll see. And the hard part too is like, you know, you, I'm sure there'll be times where it'll be an emotional game and stuff like that. And I think one thing, let's say the F word slips out. It makes you a little bit more relatable, doesn't
I
it,
think
to
so.
the
I think so.
fans?
I wish that,
Authentic.
yeah.
But I don't plan on wearing, so we'll see. We'll see how that
For
goes.
anybody listening that works for Learfield, he doesn't plan on swearing.
But there might be some strategic slip-ups. Have you thought about that?
So
I guess here's a question for you. Like, do you still get emotional watching
I was gonna
Iowa
say.
game? Because like me, when I'm watching at home or in the stadium, like I'm still shouting every now and then. Like Alyssa fucking hates it, but yeah, I'll drop it. I'll just be sitting down in the basement and she'll hear fuck.
You know, that does go away over time. That does go away over time. But yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Because it's a program that you care for. It's a program you love. You love the staff. And you know what those kids have gone through just to get to that point. So yeah, absolutely, you get emotional. And I
Yeah,
think, you know, emotion is good. And that's, you know, that's what made Podolak so great, is he was emotional and he loved the program and he loved Iowa football and still does. And, you know, I think it is an emotional. And too, like when I was playing, and I don't know about you guys, but like when I, like I didn't grow up super wealthy and we didn't have the ability to go to a lot of Iowa games. And I think probably the first Iowa games I started going to is when I got recruited and maybe went to a couple. And then I, you know, obviously played and obviously you're, you know, you're in this little bubble. And you're wondering, like, you know, we lost to Northern Illinois or Northern Iowa, or sorry, Northwestern. We lost Northwestern my senior year, and like grown men were like crying in the stands. And it's like, you know, what's going on? But then when you get done and you get away from it, and you realize how much Iowa football means to you, and just like for the fact that, you know, you're having a tough week or the kids are sick or tough week at work and, you know, financially things aren't going well or whatever, but you turn in on Saturday or you listen on Saturday to escape that and be a part of something that's so freaking great. And I got that. Like I understand that now as, you know, a 37-year-old guy who works at a credit union with three kids. So for me, like this job, like to be able to bring people into that and walk them through that and allow them to be a part of it, like that, like, dude, that's freaking what it's all about. Like that freaking gets me excited. It gets me emotional, you know, like what a
Oh yeah.
freaking privilege. Like what an opportunity.
Yeah. That actually, you just described that in a way that well, that made me feel like an asshole because
Oh, you are.
I've always there's a bit of a running theme that I hate the fans and like it's a people like to use it as a joke. Some people think it's
He's
100%.
questioned the idea of fandom multiple times in this podcast, which makes it
True sports fandom eludes me. I don't know. I don't identify with it. I don't have a team, even the Iowa Hawkeyes, that I ride and die with. As a fan, like as a former player, I obviously very much so. I'm like feel it from the that perspective. But the way you just described it about how life could be tough that week, and your one thing is sports, and that's what you turn into on the tune into on the weekend. And that's what you're holding on to kind of give you a bright spot. It's a great way to describe it, and it makes total sense and makes me feel like an asshole because,
Well, you are.
yeah, you are.
at least to this point, my life has been good enough where I don't feel like I need that external thing. And it's like, damn, there actually could be some people out there that Iowa football is like, that's what's going to save the week for them. And that is really cool that you're going to be part of that. You're going to bring that to them over the airwaves. That's pretty neat.
And like that's also, I mean, that's a huge responsibility too. And it's
Yeah.
something that I really don't take lightly. And that's you know, that's why when everyone's like, oh, he's gonna swear and he's gonna do this, like, dude, I'm gonna prepare as hard as I freaking can. And I'm gonna try to do these fans justice and these people that are tuning in. Cause like it like life is crazy. Like I know you've got a young daughter and you know, shell, I've got a 12-year-old boy, a 10-year-old boy, 8-year-old little girl, like it, or sorry, 7-year-old little girl, and it's hard to get even time to really do anything. It was
Anything,
hard to
dude.
even schedule this podcast, you
Yeah.
know. Like I'm like, oh, my
Yep.
kid's got a baseball game, and you know, maybe we can go to at 8:30 or whatever. But
How'd the game go?
no, I mean, what do you expect? My kid's playing. Like, what do you think? I'm raising a loser.
Are we saying 4 for 4 with two dingers or what?
I think he got walked his first at bat and then hit a double in the second.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Sound.
We'll take it for
Sound.
it's weird. So like and you'll get into this youth sports thing. So my kids play they play so they play travel ball for baseball, and baseball's insane. And then they also do part of their travel ball is they play Little League. So Little League's cool. It's kind of something that's fun for them to play and they can play with their friends and all that stuff. But it's hard to keep track because now you're on a Little League team and then a travel ball team. And then at the end of the year, they have an all-star team that goes and they play districts. And so now I've got three teams to kind of figure out. And so this week is the Little League districts. And what Little League, gosh, and I don't know, hopefully somebody's listening that's in charge of Little League, but I don't know if anybody listens to you guys, but they do a
Well,
game a
now that
day
they know
for
you're on the podcast, probably not get a hold of you.
they'll come for this one for sure.
The Little League does a game a day for 5 days for the districts. And then they take the top two teams and then they play for the championship. And then if they win that, then they go to, I
Is
think
this the year for the
it's
Little League World Series? Every
for
year.
so 12U it is. So
For I meant for
Emmett's
his
10.
oldest. Yeah, I meant for his oldest kid.
Yeah, so my oldest, he was on the team, the All-Star team last 2 years, won state at 10U, obviously when I coached, and then last year they got second. And then he didn't make the team this year. No, but hey, you got to earn
Competitive.
it. You got to earn it, man. There's some good kids. But so yeah, so if Emmett's team wins districts, then we'll have to spend a week in Sioux City doing the same thing, a game a day, which you could knock this out in 2 days.
I want to go back to
But
that quick.
yeah.
Is that tough? Competitive NFL former linebacker. Kid doesn't make the All-Star team. Well, how does that go?
I think as an athlete, and hopefully you guys are like this too. Our whole job, our whole career is we're judging talent, right? You're taking an objective look to talent. And I take that with my kids. So I know where he's strong and I know where he's weak and I know that he didn't earn it this year. And that's not saying that he's not going to be an amazing baseball player because he's an awesome athlete. He's super fast. Actually, he's a really good linebacker in football.
I'm shocked.
And yeah. And you know, he's athletic and all this stuff. And so like his future, like he's gonna be good. Like he's gonna have a shot if he puts in the work. And that's you know, it's up to him.
Was
Yeah,
he
part of
upset?
being an
Athlete and growing up is dealing with rejection, right? Like
Absolutely.
130 D1 teams told us no, right, Kloof? Eventually the NFL told you no, we don't want you. So
Yeah, and that's, you know, with, you know, talking, I guess, kind of circling back, talking to Goodolph, he's like, I just, you know, I feel bad if, you know, one of you guys, you know, three of you guys aren't going to get this when he did the final thing. I'm like, Dolph, we've all been fired before. Like every single one of us has been fired
true.
before. Like, dude, don't worry about it. And I
Yep.
think that's the best thing about sports is like, you know, I've been cussed out by every single coach I've ever had from growing up until the NFL. And I've been coached hard by everybody that's ever coached me. And there's nothing anybody's going to say that anybody can say to me that's going to break my spirit, because you know I think know, your biggest critic, they can be your best friend. If it obviously if they're not too destructive, but that can be your best friend because and you know you get in the real world too, and I don't know, you know, I guess your guy's situation, but it is very interesting is when somebody messes up, everybody kind of like either they point fingers or they kind of tiptoe through it and be like, hey, you know, maybe don't do this next time or whatever. And it's like everything we did was videotaped and watched by everybody in front of everybody. And we got cussed out, we messed up. And it wasn't because they hated us. It's because they loved us. They knew we could do better. And so like I think that sets you up as an athlete, to it gives you like an upper hand in the business world to be successful. Like I remember when I first got in to lending, my boss was like, hey, don't worry, I don't micromanage. Like we don't, I'm like, what do you mean? Like I've literally been told when to go pee for the last 10 years of my life. Like, I don't, like, dude, you could say whatever you want. Like, I'll do whatever. Like, I don't care. But it's an interesting transition into, you go from that where it's like literally you eat this, you drink this, you pee at this time, you go tackle this guy, watch this film, to like, hey, you're doing great. Just keep it up. It's like,
Hey,
what?
it was a tough week.
Got to go from all that extreme in-depth analysis to now you got to coach yourself 24/7.
Yeah, 100%. You
And it
100%.
almost feels because you're so used to the just the pure, authentic, transparent relationship of a coach player. It almost feels fake when you get into quote unquote the real world, business world, and you're dealing with softer criticism. Now
Yeah.
it feels like they're holding back or they're like trying to, and that's just how it works. And it's weird. It's sort of like, I'd rather just, you can just yell at me. Like
Yeah, like I want to know where I stand, and I want to know what you think of me. And like, hey, if I'm doing something wrong, like, dude, tell me, man, I'll fix it. Like, give it to me.
I think I just said this in a podcast or two podcasts ago. It's like anything hard that comes up in my life is like, but also this isn't Coach Doyle blasting me in front of the lift group. So like, I'm gonna be okay. Like I'll be all right because I've suffered worse. Coach Doyle told everybody on the team that I still had my baby fat. So like, you can't say anything that's gonna hurt me. You can't, because I've been just completely, I just strung out in front of the entire football team by Coach Doyle, and it just is what it is.
It was funny. My 10-year-old, I was like, all right, I'm a, it was the other day. I was like, I'm gonna get a workout in. And he's like, can I get something in? And I've never really pushed him on anything. And, so I was like, yeah, so I just basic stuff, a lot of functional movement stuff, a lot of just simple, basic. I do the 1x20 thing. You know, you do
Oh,
20 reps of, I'm a big fan of that, but also a lot of functional movement, a lot of mobility, a lot of stretching, all stuff that we've all done. And he walks in with Crocs. And I'm like, dude, like, you got no idea, man. Like, you got, like, you're safe here, but don't ever do that. But can you imagine walking to the IOA room with Crocs? Oh my gosh. Hey, I'm gonna get a workout in. I got him in sport mode. Let's get it going. But what's, and Clover, you could probably speak on this. Are you training any youth or anything?
I haven't recently, but I have in the past couple of years.
It's like my kids, like they play, you know, they play sports year round. They, you know, football, basketball, baseball, and baseball never ends. So like they're basically, you know, year round athletes, and they are so just like basic stuff that we would do, like simple functional movement screening, basic stuff, so unfunctional and immobile and just extremely subpar. And it's crazy because it's like these kids are all of them are like that. Every kid that I've trained, very immobile, very functionally subpar, but they're playing sports year round, and that's a big reason why these kids are tearing these ACLs at a younger age or having these like serious injuries. And I think, you know, one of the things, and I don't want to crap on any of the coaches that my kids have because they're awesome and I love them, they're all good dudes. But one of the reasons, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to play youth sports nowadays as far as like travel ball, like everybody's on freaking travel ball. But it's great because it opens up a lot of opportunities for kids to compete. But the negative is it opens up a lot of opportunities for terrible coaches to coach.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, there's so much knowledge out there and resources to do a quality warm up or a quality stretch or whatever. But it's kind of sad to see like that. I'm really going to have to go hands on these kids and just make sure they can touch their freaking toes. And
a lot of things get skipped, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Cause you're right. It's hey, straight to travel ball. We're competitive. We're doing all of the, you know, like I remember in baseball, it's like, all right, we're finally up to the age group where you can lead off and pick people. And it's like, but did you, in the outfield, did you just go and do like your tees? You know, like,
oh my gosh, this thing. They're just doing this and neck like, rolls. It's like, what are you guys doing?
Can you get into a squat? You know?
Correct.
Yeah.
And then they'll have them do it. Like, they'll have them do the stuff, but they're not coaching them up on it. Like, they're just over there doing it by themselves. And it's like, that's like the one thing that I really have a hard time with as far as like not keeping my mouth shut is the warm up. It's like, it bugs me so much. Like, dude, coach these kids, man. You've been with them all year. Like, teach them how to do a squat or something. It's terrible.
I think with the movement and the mobility and that kind of stuff, and just like the general being not athletic, and I don't know because I only have a child who is 18 months old, but from what I observe in the neighborhood and just know about kids in general these days, it's like kids aren't outside enough playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I used to, I spent like a whole week when I was 13 years old learning how to backflip in my front yard. And I just stood up. I had a little hill in my front yard so I could stand on the higher part and get a little bit of extra, you know, flip to help me land it. And I stood out there and landed on my back or my neck like 300 times in 4 days trying to learn a backflip. But when you're out there doing that, and my brothers and I used to just, we would play basketball and dunk on the 8.5 foot, 9 foot rim until it was dark outside and the light, you know, the street lights turned on, and like, and we'd run around and we'd climb trees. And like, I don't know if kids do that as much anymore. And a lot of like just base athleticism and being able to move your body and land on the ground and change direct. A lot of that just comes from like playing as a kid.
Yeah.
And I just see kids scootering around the neighborhood on electric scooters now.
Right. Like we would just run to our friend's house. He lived like 7 miles away or whatever. Right. I'm just going to run. But I think a lot of it is, at least the kids that are doing sports, is everything is so structured. Like there are weeks, most of the weeks, like my kids will only have like a one day off during the week, but everything else they do sports wise is structured. So they don't know how to play unless it's structured. Mm. And luckily, like I live in a great neighborhood. We've got a lot of young kids and
you're in the rich part of town. Yeah.
I'm south of 53rd. So it's
huge salary voice of the Hawkeyes over here.
Times are so tough. I got to work two jobs, man. It's tough out here. My wife got to own her own business. I got to work two jobs, but, you know, like we would go, you know, and hey, we're all going to meet at the ball diamond to play baseball or whatever. So you're playing against kids that are 2 or 3 years older than you and playing against kids that are, you know, 2 or 3 years younger, and you're learning from everybody and you're learning how to hit, you know, curveballs or you're learning how to hit slow pitches. Cause those are hard too, you know?
Dude, there's nothing better than, hey, everybody, we're meeting at 4:30, double or nothing, you know?
Oh, hell yeah.
Double or nothing, dude. Play it for four or five. Oh God.
A lot of do-overs too. Oh, that was a do-over.
The best part about when we would play as kids too, is like parents were just like, yeah, go.
Yeah, yeah, we had free run with the whole neighborhood.
No cell phones, no tracking.
Yes. Go.
Show up at 6:30 for dinner. It's great.
Yeah. It's glory days, man.
You're wearing the Austin 316 shirt. Pretty great shirt. Again, go to YouTube to watch the channel. It's a lot better than just the audio. Even though you're gonna have to get used to Pat on audio. I got another cool shirt. I don't know if you guys saw this. Oh, is it gonna look at this? Ott Farms.
Oh, that's cool. I love that.
They opened up some merch with our merch people, Adcraft, out of Clinton.
Oh, Adcraft. I know the Adcraft people. They're the best.
Oh, yeah. They are they're like one of the best. I mean,
they're good people.
Unbelievable company. They did an Ott Farms merch. So I got this. I'm going to turn it into a gym cutoff. And then Another great piece of merch.
Are you sending, you're sending these to me, right? Is that what you said?
Well, I'm gonna send you this next one. I just need your address after we get off the show. Very happy to announce, by the way, this has been in the works.
For a long time.
Uh-oh, I can't see
Kirk's dogs.
Oh, cool.
Kirk's dogs. Washed Up Walk-Ons, George Kittle collaboration.
I love
You can
that.
get this very, very soon. And if you're Pat, you can get it for free from us. But you're not
Because
Pat.
apparently he needs the free t-shirt.
Thank you,
I
guys.
feel bad for him working two jobs. So anybody
It's
who's
tough.
interested, if you want to see the Kirk's Dogs design in person, I'm wearing the t-shirt on the YouTube. That's going to be available very soon. We're going to continue to tease that over the next few weeks. We're dropping that, a few weeks before the season so that we can deck Kinnick in it.
Speaking of the head man, have you talked? I assume you've talked to him since you've accepted the position. What was his reaction to the?
Yeah, you know, of course you get a handwritten letter right away. That's just solid.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's the best. But yeah, he's and I talked to him kind of during the process and just kind of let him know what was going on and just kind of wanted to pick his brain or whatever. And I don't know what say he had or whatever, but yeah, he's been awesome. And I was able to get back to the family night.
Oh yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I haven't been able to go there yet just because of youth sports. But dude, it's such a freaking family. And it's so nice that we played at a place where the coaches are still there and they still care about you.
That's rare.
Like it doesn't happen, you know? And, my kid's at a, you know, my oldest is 12 and he's at a point where like, it's kind of cool. Like he knows, like he's kind of, I mean, he's 6 years, he's going to be in college. And for him to be around that program and just be so many people were so generous to him and generous to us. And like, dude, like this is what it's about. Like, this is a freaking a well-oiled machine. This is a family here. Like, it's not just about your 5 years there, your 4 years there. Like it's about the rest of your freaking life. And that's why they're so successful.
I hope
But
that
yes,
that's.
I did talk to Coach Ferentz and he's awesome. I sorry. I
No,
diverted.
you're right, though. It's the same stuff that makes Coach special is what makes the program special. I hope it's why I think, as a former player, that it's an echoed sentiment that LeVar or Seth, somebody from within that is really, really well liked amongst other players, gets the head job when Coach Ferentz does decide to hang it up. Because that familial feel and the way they run that program based around being good people, it's hard to say. It's a biased opinion from the inside. We only played for Iowa. Who knows what other programs are like, but you just don't get the sense that it's that way other
Right.
places. So yeah, have you talked to Podolak?
No, I haven't talked to him yet. I reached out to Dolph to get his contact
Get some
and
pointers.
yeah, I just want to give him a shout and I'd love to have some beers with them or whatever and just, you know, those two guys, it would be a good time, man. A good time. And it's, you know, it's I don't want Podolak to think I'm like coming in and like trying to take over and you know, he's a legend and what he's done as a color commentary guy and what he did as a football player for the Chiefs. Like, what is it? Nobody has had more all purpose yards in a game in the NFL playoffs or something than him. Something like that. Some like crazy stat.
That would be
Yeah,
an
some
incredible
crazy
stat.
interception stat too, I think.
yeah, the dude was a machine. Like
He
what a just
he
a
was built like an absolute stud back in the
yeah.
day. Guy was a
Yeah, I wouldn't have,
stud.
yeah. So yeah, I plan on definitely talking to old Eddie.
Did you ever in your entire life think that being on the microphone commentating a game would be a thing? Like, was
No.
that ever? Never. Never cross
Never.
your mind. Okay.
No.
What
No, but
would
I'll tell you
have?
what, I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, like.
Are you gonna be nervous for the first game?
Oh, for sure. Like I, you know, I'm still like I'm terrified, but I'm excited. And you know, so many times in my life, like recently since I've got them playing, where I've been, you know, content and comfortable. And you know, now's an opportunity where I'm super nervous, I'm super excited, and like that's when you grow. Like that's when you put yourself out there, and then you grow. And you know, it's funny. My wife was talking. She's like, you know, kids that are friends with, you know, my kids' kids, like they're going to remember you as the color commentary guy on the radio. They're not gonna remember you as a football player. And it's kind of weird
True.
to think that. That's if I last, obviously. That's if I last a quarter.
I mean, that's the type of
Well,
job that you can hold on to for a long, long time, right? You could be the next color commentator guy for the next 30, 40 years of
I
your
was
life.
just going to say, you could be. I mean, I don't think they hired you to let you go in 5 or 10 years. Like, I, you
Well,
know.
let me get through like the first game first, or like the first quarter, and then we'll see.
So
But
what's preparation going to look like for you? Are they going to give you like access to the film room or something, or like how in-depth of analysis are we planning on going into during the games?
yeah, what I was told is I will be getting access to the film,
Yeah,
which
you're.
is huge.
All right, can you
Yes,
share
send that
that
to
with
us. Send that to us.
us.
We're trying to. So, Pat, here's what we're trying to do. We think this would be insane. Okay, like I don't know if you know it, but the All-22 film for college, it's impossible to get. You can't get it. Teams share it with each other openly, within the programs. You can have it. Here's our film from our six opponents this year. NFL. You can freaking pay all access like $22 a month, and you get the all 22 view of every
That's the
NFL
best
game.
way to, it's the best way to watch a game. The best.
NFL has no problem just giving it away. No team cares. You can't get it in college. And what we want to do is we have this little like mini show idea where we come out where we do like a 15, 20 minute episode each week called Kevin's Film Room or something. And he breaks down like plays from the previous week. But you can't get your hands on the goddamn film. It's infuriating. So you're gonna have to slide that to us. Obviously, no one will know it came from you.
Yeah, just give me like 200 grand or something. I'll give it to you.
Wow, that is really gonna cut into the profit we make out of this thing.
I mean, if you want to take the money right out of the kids' pockets, that's up to you, but okay. True.
No, True.
I'm not giving you guys crap. All right.
That's unfortunate. Has this made you think like I gotta go brush up on the playbook a little bit? I gotta.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Just terminology. So like. I got done, obviously get done and you're thinking football and all that stuff and all the crazy coverages and everything and fits and techniques and all that crap. And then you go coach third and fourth grade football and you have to forget everything you've ever learned and how you talk. So I've been doing that the last 3 years. I've really been dumbing everything down, which I've coached for 3 years and we haven't lost a game, so I just want to put that out there.
Wow,
But
so you're actually the
undefeated in Pee Wee
successor.
football,
Yeah.
huh?
Coach Anger is undefeated in Pee Wee football.
Yeah, I mean, are you surprised?
Not
Yeah,
really. A little bit. I'm not.
The
I mean, I guess you
key
just
here's
win.
the key: you draft the best kids. Like that's the
True.
whole key. I don't know why people don't just do that. Just get the best kids, and then you
You just
literally
make
don't
sure
have
they
to
know
do
their
it.
right from their left.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if they're that good, they really don't even have to, just as long as they get the ball. But youth football was a ton of fun, and obviously, it was tons. Like when I first started, I had all this tackle circuit and all this stuff that we were going to do, and really cute and funny, like all this. And finally, I'm like, this ain't going to work. And really dumbed it down. I got it to where what we do is we tackle and we block for a half hour. And then we scrimmage for 20 minutes. And then we play a game for 10 minutes. And then we're done. And we do that twice a week.
Love it.
And, there's teams around here that are practicing, 3 hours or 2, 3 hours, 3 times a week. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, football's dying. These kids, the only goal should be, I want these kids to come back and play next year. Like that's the
Yeah.
only goal. So
Get
you're
you out of
pushing
here.
kids out by like beating them up and all this stuff. Like, dude,
Also,
football's
when
not
you're,
that hard. It's not
yeah.
that hard. Don't make it complicated. Like Norm Parker used to always say, football's a kid sport made complicated by old men.
Yeah, you'd say. I remember he sat me down in his office one time, and he was like, I was talking with my dad, and he's like, "It ain't that complicated. You just tackle the guy with the ball." Especially when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. That's really all it is, right? Like you can coach them all the technique that you want to. It's going to go in one ear out the other. They're not going to remember it the next practice you come back, right?
Yeah, and what I try to tell them is like the aggression at this age, it takes all the risk away. Just be onset aggressive.
Yep.
Who cares? If we get beat on a deep ball, like the odds of a fifth and sixth grade kid or third and fourth grade kid throwing some deep ball, like very, very rare. Obviously, on my team, we do because we're awesome and I'm a great coach. But on these other teams, probably not going to happen. So be onset aggressive.
I just am sitting here imagining Coach Pat Anger yelling, like, they break the huddle, they break the to start practice, and Pat's just like, punt period. Let's go. Run it again.
Run
Run it again, you
it
little.
again. The good thing is there's no punting.
No.
Actually, you can punt, but actually we never punt. We
You'd
just
have
go
to
for a
teach
set every
somebody the
time.
long snap.
So I don't think that because I just go for it every time, and it usually works.
You know the
But
numbers, the logistics say you should.
yeah. And especially at that age, like whatever. But I think then you can say, hey, just you get the ball 30 yards downfield or something if you punt.
Funny enough, right before we came down to do this podcast on the TV, Big Ten, 2008, Iowa Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
And your thick ass was on the screen. Like I switched to the channel and there you are. I'm like, this is ironic. What do you remember about the game?
It was cold. But I remember the first series, I feel like Claiborne or somebody, they ran a screen, Claiborne or somebody tackled the quarterback. He ended up Claiborne or Benz or King or Kroll, one of the really awesome D linemen that we continue to have, ended up with the ball in the end zone. And for some reason, I think it was Ballard. For some reason, Penn State got the ball still. I don't understand that.
It
But,
was Claiborne.
Claymore, of course. I should have known. Guy's a machine. But and then I remember getting my ass kicked pretty much the whole game by AQ Shipley, who I ended up playing with at Indy. Just a great dude.
Oh.
He was a stud. He was their center, and just a. I mean, I always struggled with like short, stocky guys, because I'm short and stocky. I like the bigger guys because I could get my forehead in their chin, but I really couldn't with him. But yeah, we pulled it out. We pulled that one out. Didn't Greenwood have an interception to seal the game there at the end? I want to say it was Brett, or maybe that was
Yes.
Michigan. But dude, it was a tough game. We always played Penn State tough, and I always appreciated playing against them and the way that they played. I was a huge fan of Sean Lee. He's one of my favorite linebackers of all time.
Stud.
He was somebody that we. They gave me and Eads and Jeremiah Hunter a list of linebackers to study throughout the Big Ten and or throughout the country, and I had Sean Lee, and I never really sat down and watched him. He was so much better than me, like just so much better than me. Just the way that he moved, the way he covered, like his coverage was unbelievable. His vision was so good. He was so smart. And so I always thought I was really good, and then I watched tape on him. I'm like, I'm terrible. I suck. I'm so bad.
You that he was that they're so much better than me is how I felt with every guy on the team. So now you know what it's like to be a specialist. You're just like you go out there for the strength conditioning workout or the 60s or stations in 60. Like God, they're all so much better than me.
You know what's interesting about specialists, and people don't bring this up enough, is that on every single level, in high school, in college, in the NFL, specialists don't have a coach. There's no long snapper coach. There's no kicking coach. There's no punting coach.
Rarely,
So you guys are all self-taught. Me, there's like 25 linebacker coaches.
It's a situation, it's a room, it's a position where if you are not able to self-correct and you don't truly know what you're looking for to fix what's wrong when something comes up, things can go downhill quickly, and if you can't fix it, then you're basically, anyone you see kicking or punting or snapping is very good at figuring out what they're doing wrong by themselves and fixing it. They don't have anyone really, because Coach Woods, he coaches the special teams, but he's more important for, and we just talked about it with him on his episode. He's a lot more important to, hey, here's our kick return. Here's our punt periods and how they're going to work in practice and all this stuff. He's not really going to go up to Drew Stevens and be like, hey, your plant foot was a little off there, and I think you struck it a little fat, which is why he's never going to say something like that. We don't. Kading would if he was at practice, but not many. Even in the NFL, I think occasionally there's a kicking coach, but very rarely. So yeah, it is tough.
And when you guys mess up, everybody knows. Like a linebacker, I can mess up 10 times a game, nobody even know.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
there's 32 of you guys in the NFL, which there's 700 linebackers.
it's an elite job. Don't say you guys. I never made it there. I didn't even get a call.
Well, I would have called you.
Too short. Too short.
Yeah, same here.
Told me
Same
to my
here.
face. Yeah, it's tough.
How tall are you?
5'10".
Oh, Jesus. So my dad used to always ask me,
You and I are the
like,
same person, Pat. I just want you to know. You were just a little fa
don't you ever.
You were just a little
How dare
faster than me.
you? Don't you ever.
I
Don't
promise
you
nothing I've
ever.
ever
In
heard said
another
on this
life,
podcast.
dude,
In another
I'm
life.
leaving this podcast right about now.
We already got you for an hour. I got what I needed out of you.
Oh my gosh. That's the worst thing anybody's ever said to me.
Pat, look at us. Come on. Hold on. Where's my hat? Fuck, I'm moving this week, so all
Hey,
my hats are packed.
watch your language, please.
Oh, this is not Learfield. We can say whatever we want on here. Learfield wouldn't touch Drake with a 10-foot pole.
Oh yeah, but gosh, I love Drake.
A lot of
Love
people
that
do.
guy.
A lot of people do. He came back for the Coach Woods episode, and basically all the comments were, man, this podcast is so much better when Drake's here. And I get it. It is. The reason why people listen to us in the first place is because the three of us had a interesting relationship, and me and
Well, he
Kevin
didn't
just
come back
don't.
for this podcast, so that shows you what he thinks about you,
Yeah,
Pat.
he said he didn't show up for you, Pat. It was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. Well,
All right.
it's a big week for him. It's America's birthday, and
True.
I'm sure he's enjoying his freedoms. Where's he at?
Arizona.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was it Tucson, Phoenix? Where's he?
He boxes in
Hopefully.
Tucson. He does. He goes to
Does
box. He
he?
go He trains boxing in Tucson. He lives in Queen Creek, but
Quail Creek, yeah.
he should live in Tombstone. That's his.
He
He should live in
belongs in
Tombstone.
Tombstone.
So when me and my so every off season, well, 2 off seasons in the NFL, my best friend, he was in Afghanistan. He was 101st Airborne, just a badass dude. We would get an RV and a couple other buddies. We would drive down to Tombstone, Arizona, and spend a week there being cowboys. And really hard taking a guy straight from war and locking him in an RV for 24 hours with a bunch of booze, like a terrible idea. And
Yeah,
then
that's
taking
in
him to a,
the desert
and then taking, yeah,
too.
taking him to the desert where there's random gunshots going off, like not the best idea.
Holy smokes.
But
This guy was like, holy shit, I'm in Afghanistan
we had a good time, and
again.
yeah, spent a lot of spent some good times in Tombstone, some good nights.
If you never played football, like if for some reason the Hawkeyes didn't call, and would you ever have been in the military? You seem like you could have been.
Well, yeah, I mean that was honestly my plan
That
growing
was the
up. My
plan.
dad, yeah, my dad was an army guy, and my brother Nate served in the Marines. He was over in Somalia. And so like that's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
Nobody in my family had ever gone to college. We didn't have the money to go to college, and honestly, I didn't take school very seriously. Sports was something that I did and competed in. I loved it, but I never thought that it would ever go any other level. So yeah, I really love the military, and got a lot of friends that served, and yeah, it'd be something that I'd love to do. And one thing, like with the transition of being done, so I got done with football, and then my buddy John transitioned out of the military as well too, and very similar struggles.
Sure. Structure.
It's a, you make it, yeah, structure, and you make it to tackle, and 70,000 people are screaming, and it's freaking amazing, and you got brothers with you that would freaking die for you, and then it's done. And in the military, he's literally got brothers that are dying for him, and he's fighting for other people, and the rush that probably comes with war
Yeah, the
is
adrenaline there too.
even more than what it is, having 70,000 people cheer for you, and then all of a sudden then you're done. And yeah, so we have many conversations about that over whiskey, and he's helped me out a lot, and I don't know if I've helped him out, but it's something that definitely benefited me having somebody that was kind of going through a similar transition. I don't want to compare playing football and making a shit ton of money to serving in the military and going to war and having to kill people and watching your buddies die. Definitely not the same, but as far as the
Yeah,
structure
huge
and the
difference.
brotherhood, very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the locker room vibe kind of thing. Yeah, the identity thing is tough for a lot of people. And I think it hits fast. I've always actually thought about, not seriously, but like if I ever, when the walk-ons crashes and burns, like backup plans for starting a business. I've always thought about like doing something along the lines of helping guys who come out of their career and they're just like they reach that spot where they're like, oh, no one cares about me anymore. It's like I don't know that I don't know what you would call it or how you would turn it into a business, but I know we had an episode on it. Kevin talked a lot about it and a lot of people really resonated with it. And it is weird. And I don't think you don't get a lot of warning for it. They're, they tell you like, hey, cherish this time. It's the best time of your life. They talk about how
Let
good it
that
is,
pass, yeah.
but they don't talk about like, oh, and by the way, when you get out, you're gonna feel like
Depression's gonna hit you like a shit brick.
nothing
Oh,
means
yeah.
anything, and you're also nothing's gonna be this cool, and you're gonna hate it. So I don't know
I
what.
actually I remember LeVar Woods actually telling me there was a kid that it was like our last game or whatever, and he's like, "Hey, you see that guy right there? He's not going to know what to do with his life tomorrow." And at that time, I'm like, "Hey, what are you talking about?" There was a guy that wasn't going to go on and play in the NFL or anything. Dude, he was so right. He was so freaking right. And I think for me, it's appreciating the time that you have when you play, and appreciating your brothers, and obviously staying in contact with them, but also coming to terms with the fact that like best time of your life is over. It already happened. And I don't mean to like say that my life sucks, because I've got great support system, awesome freaking family, love my kids, but like I'm never gonna have that again. But now, like, going into, being in the booth, like, I'm back in it.
You get a little bit of taste.
You get your
I'm back
you're
in it.
the spark is it's there's some flares. There's a little there. It definitely is cool that you get to kind of latch back in. I don't know how what the it does this include like appearances and stuff like that? Do you have like obligations like that stuff or?
I mean, there has been stuff recently that I've done. It's still so new to it that I'm not for sure exactly what all entails, but there will
Yeah.
be appearances and things like that.
Cool.
And it's something that I'll probably learn and see what's going on. But right now, I'm not at the point to say no to anything. So pretty much, I've been
Yeah.
saying yes to everything.
And now we know how we got him on the podcast
Yeah,
tonight.
right.
Well, we won't
I'm
take up any more of your time. We appreciate you. I think
sweating my
I
ass off in this
phrase.
garage. I want you to
Yeah,
know that.
horrible decision by you. You
Are
could
you
have
gonna have
done
a
this, but
catchphrase for your for in the booth?
I want it to come naturally. Like when I first when they were like, "Hey, this is the game that you're gonna watch and commentate on," like I was listening to the radio version because it's on YouTube. And I was watching the TV copy, and I was taking notes, and then I was recording what I was going to say, and I sounded like such a dork, and I sounded like nobody, like I wouldn't even want to listen to that at all. So then, like, I was like, "Dude, am I overthinking this? Am I trying too hard?" And so I went into it really kind of blind, in the sense where I just want to react and be me, and if they like it, awesome, and if they don't, well, at least then I don't have to act like something that I'm not.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that organically a catchphrase comes along.
Beautiful.
I'm sure it will. Thank you for coming on the
You
show.
sound pretty optimistic.
I am tired right now because I, for the last 3 days, have been painting the new house that we're moving into, and it's been a long week already. I am thrilled that you came on our show, and I'm ecstatic that you're going to be in the booth. I To be honest, I don't think I ever listened. I mean, we would listen on the way to and from, like the post game show and the pre-show. But if I tune into a Hawkeye game, it's usually on the TV. I might do the thing now where I put you and Dolph on and I match it to the YouTube TV and I just run it like that. And because I don't think I can, I have to tune into you and
Well,
Dolph.
I
There's
appreciate that. I
no way
appreciate
that I
that,
can.
man.
And I think everybody listening to this podcast will too.
You've always been very supportive. And
I like to support those who look like me. So
can you stop with that?
we all need a helping hand. We got to lift each other up
Good luck. I'm fat.
to above. I think you've been fatter though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
But
We'll let you
hey,
go.
love you guys. Thank you.
We love you too.
And I look forward to hopefully not letting you down. And it was
That's
good to
it.
see Kevin at the football camp that you didn't show up to.
I don't think Kluver got an invite.
I kind of was like,
Oh.
I was pseudo invited, but Gervais never really, he doesn't want me there. He wants the big names. You know, he's somebody that's played in the
Well,
NFL. He didn't. Yeah,
you're
I
the
think
big
Pat
name, man.
Andrews charged appearance fee for that, but.
Well, I asked him, I'm like, dude, how much money are you gonna give me, Jake? And he didn't give me any. But I did get a cool hat.
I
Rally for
just
Green. It's
saw
a
that
great camp. Great
he
camp.
raised 65 grand. He could have given you at least a little. He could have thrown you a bone a little bit.
We got donuts
Dude,
too.
yeah, we got donuts and food. Dude, I tell you what, man, Jake's a good dude. Even though he's from Assumption, like he's a good guy. But last year when I was leaving the camp, we've been it's a long day, Kevin. Like it's a freaking long,
It
long
was
day, and it's
hot.
always the hottest day in the world. But we're leaving. Jake does a lot of work setting it up, and I think I'm the last one to leave, other than Jake. And he's sitting there and he's picking up all the trash just by himself. He's got a trash can, he's walking around picking up all the trash, like just a quality dude.
Leaving the
Yeah, I
streets.
hate to say it, but he is a good dude.
He's a good dude. For an assumption guy, he's a good dude.
All right. We're gonna let Pat go. Thank you everybody for tuning in. And tune in this fall to hear him and Dolph call the Iowa games. It's gonna be amazing. We'll talk to you next week. I don't know who will be on, but we'll have somebody. Till then, peace.
Yeah, love you. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.